All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Roger. All right, we'll start in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Today we have on with us our brother from Sinner Saved. We're going to do another storm warning. This is the part 7 of our storm warning series. We're going to have another word from God today, and God willing, we will be able to get through all this madness. I think, Billy, we may talk about some of the current politics and rumors and speculations that are going on, just so that we can get this information out there, because I'm getting slammed with emails about troop movements all around America and people are concerned. Right. So we're going to do our best to address that. But let's get started, brother. So, Mike's yours.
Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you on American Vindicta YouTube channel, operated by Mr. Doug Thornton, and also Worldwide Christian Radio, WWCR, shortwave world band at 9.350 megahertz, also 9.350 kilohertz. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. It is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, see John 17, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous times. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. Jesus, the bread of life for the hungry soul. In John's gospel, we find the 7 I am scriptures spoken by Jesus to declare his deity. Among them, we discover John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Listening to this, we must conclude if Jesus is not God, he can hardly be viewed as a repository of deep humility. Here, he declares himself as the bread, the one who sustains life. What a cheek to make this claim, that as if he is not God. Indeed, when we read the discourse in John chapter 6, we discover that Jesus makes a sevenfold reference to himself as the bread of life. And you copy this down, friends. John chapter 6, verses 32, 33, 35, 48, 50, 51, and 58. According to Jesus, this is the very bread that must be eaten by faith to receive everlasting life. Please again see verses 50, 51, 53, 54, 56 through verse 58. We should note that the Roman Communion makes much of this discourse to establish her wretched doctrine of the Mass. They painstakingly fail, however, to point out that this discourse has nothing whatsoever to do with the Lord, the Last Supper, and the breaking of bread. They also fail to note that Christ's language in this passage is figurative, not literal. The Lord's Supper not being in existence until about a year later. The bread to which Christ refers is himself. He, as our high priest, offered himself on the altar of Calvary, redeemed his people, and answered the sin question as he satisfied the justice of God. Just remember, friends, the gospel is all about substitution and satisfaction. When we receive him by faith alone, we are figuratively eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Notice how Jesus referred to himself as he which cometh down from heaven. By this term, Jesus is again asserting his deity. In the Old Testament, to come down from heaven meant a divine descent from the throne of God to accomplish a task of either grace or judgment. In Genesis 11, verse 4 and verse 7, for example, God came down in judgment against the Tower of Babel. In Genesis 18, verse 21, God, regarding Sodom, says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. Regarding the people of Israel, in Exodus 3, 8, the Lord says, I am come down to deliver them. In Exodus 19, 20, God comes down upon the Mount of Sinai to give his law. In Psalm 18, verse 9, he bowed the heavens and came down in answer to cries of distress. Since to come down from heaven is God's work and prerogative, we once more see the master making the grand declaration that he is God manifest in the flesh. In summary, Jesus, as the bread of life, is the giver and sustainer of life. That means he is God. I'd like to repeat Psalm 18, verse 8 through 9, Doug and friends. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes or popes or cardinals or queens or kings, presidents, vice presidents, governors, attorney generals, mayors. You get the picture, friends. Trust Christ alone. Jesus declares he has come down from heaven. Again, that means he is God. Jesus claims that union with him is essential to eternal life. Again, that means he is Almighty God. Now, here's the question. Have we eaten of the bread of life for ourselves? Have we tasted and seen that the Lord is good? Please see Psalm 34, 8. Are we still looking anywhere and everywhere but the everlasting gospel for satisfaction? In Greek mythology, Tantalus was made to stand in a pool of water right under the branches of a fruit tree. However, when Tantalus tried to reach for the fruit, the branches would go higher and out of his reach. When he tried to drink a sip of water, the waters of the pool would recede, a symbol of utter frustration. His name is immortalized in the English word tantalize. So too, the world may at times tantalize the child of God. It promises much but delivers nothing. Only Christ can give us a cleansed conscience. Only Christ can remove our guilt and give us genuine peace. Only Christ can give abundant life. He is the bread of life. And that's the gospel truth. And that was from preacher Miles McKee. Oh, and anybody that's currently within Roman Catholicism, Doug and I don't hate you. We hate the magisterian that's lying to you. That's whom we hate. Just like the scripture says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Please consider going to Miles, M-I-L-E-S, McKee, M-C-K-E-E.com. He has a lot of wonderful gospel messages directed toward poor Roman Catholic folks. Philippians 2:13. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is a peculiar blessing of every new creature in Christ Jesus to be renewed in knowledge. As the soul advances in the divine life, he more clearly understands the heights and depths of the mysteries of God's grace by the word and spirit of truth. So also he feels more and more the workings of the mystery of iniquity within him. Therefore, he has done with talking of his own so-called free will. This is talking about a believer. I'll say that again. Therefore, he has done without with talking of his own so-called free will and works of righteousness, having any share in obtaining grace. These notions are the weeds of nature. They spring from pride. Pride is interwoven with our very constitution and being. This opposes and rebels against our own mercies, even the free grace truths of the gospel. But it is the exercise of faith to submit to the righteousness of Jesus, to bow to the sovereignty of God's will, and to adore his spirit who worketh in us to will and to do of his own good pleasure. O disciple of Jesus, how art thou sweetly constrained to own this from the rich experience of the truth upon thy own soul? What is the natural bent of thy will but to reject Jesus, the Lord of life and glory? Some people are fixed on tradition. Some people are fixed on church attendance. No, no, no. It's all of God, all of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is all in all. But naturally, carnally speaking, we, before he woke us up and saved us, we reject him, the Lord of glory, Jesus. It's finished now. Its language is, speaking of the lost sinner, I will not have this man to reign over me. I have better lovers, and after them I will go. I will enjoy the pleasures of sin. I will love the world. I will take my full swing in the earthly delights and pleasing profits and glorious honors of it. I will be saved in my own way, for my own works. I will not be indebted to be saved by sovereign grace. Holy. Thus the natural will of man speaks plain by its affections and actions through the darkness of the understanding. Thy will was to destroy thyself. Speaking of lost sinners again, it was the will of the Lord to save thee in Christ Jesus. Therefore, in the day of his power, see Psalm 110, verse 3, therefore, in the day of his power, the Holy Spirit made thee willing to come to Jesus for life and salvation. With free choice and cheerful willingness, thou camest in faith as a perishing sinner to a precious Savior. Wilt thou any more ascribe any glory to thy will? Wilt thou ever suffer thy power to share it in the trophies of thy Lord? Nay, shall not free, sovereign, unmerited grace have all the glory? Is not this the daily humble prayer of thy soul? Leave me not, O Lord, to myself, for without thee, O Jesus, I can do nothing, nothing but sin against thee and wound my own soul. If thou truly delightest in the law of God after the inward man, it is the delight of thy soul to do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Ever put this soul-humbling, grace-exalting question to thy heart. Who made me to differ? What have I that I have not received? I have nothing in myself whereof to glory. I glory in him who saith, from in Isaiah 43:13, I will work, and who shall let it? That was from old-timer preacher William Mason. He passed away the year of our Lord, 1797. Whatever my God ordains is right. His holy will abideth. I will be still whatever he doth and follow where he guideth. He is my God. Though dark my road, he holds me that I shall not fall. Wherefore to him I leave it all. Whatever my God ordains is right. He never will deceive me. He leads me by the proper path. I know he will not leave me. I take content what he hath sent. His hand can turn my griefs away, and patiently I wait his day. Whatever my God ordains is right. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true, each morn and anew. I'll trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. Whatever my God ordains is right. He is my friend and father. He suffers not to do me harm, though many storms may gather. Now I may know both joy and woe. Someday I shall see clearly that he hath loved me dearly. Whatever my God ordains is right. Though now this cup in drinking may bitter seem to my faint heart, I take it all unshrinking. My God is true each morn anew. Sweet comfort yet shall fill my heart, and pain and sorrow shall depart. Whatever my God ordains is right. Here shall my stand be taken. Though sorrow, need, or death be mine, yet I am not forsaken. My Father's care is round me there. He holds me that I shall not fall. And so to him I leave it all. That was from preacher Samuel Radagast in the year of our Lord, 1676. Matthew 14:12. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Thus was extinguished that burning and shining light, John Baptist. It is very staggering to the eye of sense and the judgment of carnal reason that the Lord, whose eyes are over the righteous, should yet suffer his faithful ministers and dearest children to fall a sacrifice to the rage and malice of cruel and unreasonable men. This puzzled the royal prophet David. This was an exercise to patient Job, and it has put disciples to the stand in all ages. We are ready to cry out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" when it comes near home and we ourselves are the subjects of insults and injuries from the power and malice of enemies to Jesus and his truths. This is the trial of faith. If this exercise is continued, if the enemy triumphs, and God, our friend, appears not as our deliverer, how does Satan, who has stirred up fightings without, industrially aim to inject fears within with, "Where is now thy God?" Excuse me, buddies. Here Satan speaks. Why dost thou vainly imagine thyself a child of God while thy father leaves thee to this cruel treatment? If thou wast in his favor, thou wouldst surely find his protection. Satan continues to say, the want of his care proves thou hast no part in his love. Now thou art called, O Christian, to fight and resist Satan steadfastly in the faith. Judge not of the Father's love by present dispensations. Strengthen thyself in thy God. Consult his holy word. Wait on him. Take up the deceitful, unclean body of sense and carnal reason. Bury it and go and tell thy Savior. He is thy wisdom, thy counselor, and a perfect match for thy sublest adversary. It is very alleviating to a distressed mind to pour his complaints into the sympathizing breast of a faithful friend. The Lord Jesus, he is our best friend, who sticketh closer than a brother. What is the cause of thy sorrows? Make the subject of thy free converse with thy Savior. If thou art smitten on earth, tell him who feels for thee in heaven. Here is thy comfort. He always hears, ever loves, and can instantly deliver. But if he does not, rest assured. Love delays for thy profit. Afflictions are blessings. In disguise, we do not so heartily think of our home above, while richly furnished with earthly comforts below. Our Lord strips us of them and turns our thoughts homeward. But we shall surely find, as it is written, as tribulation abounds, consolation shall much more abound. Our Lord Jesus advises, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Please see Psalm 50, verse 15. Prize it as your greatest blessedness to live near the Lord and maintain humble converse with him. Pour out your complaints and shew him your trouble. And that's from a reference to Psalm 142:2. Outstanding message. Lord, we adore thy vast designs, thy obscure abyss of providence, too deep to sound with mortal lines, too dark to view with feeble sense. When thou arrayest thine awful face in angry frowns without a smile, we through thy clouds believe thy grace, secure of thy compassion still. That was from old-timer preacher William Mason. Paths of righteousness. A verse from Psalm 23:3. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The good shepherd of the flock leads his the good shepherd of the sheep leads his flock in those righteous paths ordered of the Father and established by the Son. As it is written in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights to walk therein. Christ is that good man, sent of the Father to take every step necessary to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's all speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. And that was, you can look at it in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. In Psalm 40, verse 8, Christ said, I delight to do thy will, O God. He who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Thank you, Lord. And that was from Hebrews 11:6, that he might lead his sheep in righteous paths. Micah 6:8 defines those paths. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Those who walk the path of justice look to Christ's righteousness imputed alone for salvation. And if that's a new term for you, dear folks, Christ imputes his righteousness to his blood-bought saints. That word imputes means Christ charges to our account his perfect, eternal, flawless righteousness. Those who walk the path of mercy bow the knee at the mercy seat, crying, Lord, propitiate for me. Those who walk the path of humility do so knowing their deservedness of eternal death. Does my walk equal this talk? It does only if my motive is grace and gratitude for the law and justice Christ satisfied for me, the propitiation he made for me, and the gift of eternal life he earned for me when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I follow him in paths of righteousness when I follow his voice in Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left, the good shepherd leads. The good shepherd leads us in paths of righteousness. He has before us. He has gone before us. If we hear a word behind us, we have turned to the right or left. We seek to follow the shepherd. His direction is always the same. From John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Walk ye in the righteous paths. That was an old-timer preacher, Winston Pennell. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Master, Christ Jesus, also says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ while he may be found and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. We know that the greatest sin is unbelief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The apostle said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This about wraps up this evening's broadcast. I trust Almighty God will awaken his sleeping elect and draw multitudes of men, women, and children today around the world to his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. Yehovah Sidkenu. Bless the name. Baruch Hashem. Holy One of Israel. Hakadosh Yisrael. Hallelujah. If you are led of the Lord to contribute funds to sponsor YouTube American Vindicta channel or for my World Band shortwave radio broadcast, well, first of all, get a hold of Doug. And then, if you are so inclined, go to the following website to help me out with broadcasts. It's wwcr.com and get their physical mailing address to send your donation. Please remember to indicate that it's for the Storm Warning broadcast. I don't even need to touch the money. Just send whatever the Lord puts on your heart to the radio station. Of interest here, there are millions of folks that don't have modern devices, but they're able to listen to inexpensive radios. I greatly appreciate those of you that have donated. In doing so, you are propagating Almighty God's everlasting gospel around the world and to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the soon coming Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings unto those that fear him in his holy name. Talk about a glorious future, people. If you'd like to communicate, then please feel free to write. The email address for the Storm Warning broadcast is thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. And please indicate what country you're from, what life is like where you live, and how the reception was on your radio or on the YouTube channel with Doug Thornton. Again, thelordbemagnified@gmail.com. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of Saints, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and King of Glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus Christ. Maranatha.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And ladies and gentlemen, please, if you would like to help donate to keep both me and Billy on the air, it would be much appreciated. Prayers go out to all those people right now who are suffering, to all the people who are listening to us that are needing to seek God and seek counsel. You know, the best suggestion I got for you is to hit your knees and seek him, not man. Amen. Seek the Lord.
That's and, right.
You know, the Lord knows your heart and he knows your needs and he knows what to give you and what not to give you. You're probably not going to get that new, you know, Lexus or Mercedes, but, you know, hopefully, Lord be willing, his mercies are bountiful. You will get what you are needing. You know, I was doing Bible study with my kids this morning,
Shadow.
And I actually started them on a little bit of history. For those of you who've never read it, I'm halfway through the book, but I decided to restart it with my kids, and we were talking about the Black Book of Communism, Crimes, Terror, and Repression. This book will teach you a lot that school never taught you. It'll teach you a lot that is not in the hearts of many of our politicians anymore, because they know nothing about communism. They know nothing about the real ways of this world. They only know how to get your money. Which, man, that's why I don't like politicians, but I'll leave that as it is. So I want to go over with you the Bible study that I did today using Charles Spurgeon, the Morning and Evening Bible study versions, King James Version, and also we'll be going over my favorite old beat up God is faithful, David Wilkerson. There have been some of you who have emailed me where to get the David Wilkerson one, God is faithful. You can get that on Amazon for like $15. So, and referencing, if you have your Bibles out, we'll be going into Isaiah 54 today, 54. So starting this off, thy Redeemer, Isaiah 54, verse 5. Jesus the Redeemer is altogether ours and ours forever. All the offices of Christ are held on our behalf. He is king for us, priest for us, and prophet for us. Whenever we read a new title of the Redeemer, let us propitiate him as ours under that name, as much as under any other. The shepherd's staff, the father's rod, the captain's sword, the priest's mitre, and the prince's scepter, the prophet's mantle, all are ours. Jesus hath no dignity which he will not employ for our exaltation, and no prerogative which he will not exercise for our defense.
Wow.
His fullness of Godhead is our unfailing, inexhaustible treasure house. His manhood also, his manhood, which he took upon him for us, is ours in all its perfection. To us, our gracious Lord communicates the spotless virtue of a stainless character. To us, he gives the meritorious efficacy, of a devoted life. Of a devoted life, on us he bestows the reward procured by obedient submission and incessant service. He makes the unsullied garment of his life in our covering beauty. The glittering virtues of his character are ornaments and jewels, and the superhuman meekness of his death was our boast and glory. He bequests us his manger, from which to learn how God came down to man, in his cross to teach us how man may go up to God. All his thoughts, his emotions, his actions, his utterances, miracles and intercessions were for us. He trod the road of sorrow on our behalf and hath made over to us as his heavenly legacy the full results of all the labors of his life. He is now as much ours as heretofore, and he blushes not to acknowledge himself our Lord Jesus Christ, though he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ everywhere and every way is our Christ, forever and ever most richly to enjoy. O my soul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, call him this morning thy Redeemer.
Hallelujah.
For any of you like me, he was my Redeemer. So let's go to Isaiah 54, and we're going to learn a little bit today about covenants. So starting at Isaiah 54, I have the King James Version pulled up. Billy, you know I like to read from the ESV for those of you if you want to read along with your King James Version. The eternal covenant of peace. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate, one will be more than the children of her who is married. Says the Lord, enlarge the place of your tent, and the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer.
Amen.
This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. So I want to go over real quick covenant. I found a very interesting article, very well written, It is at BibleStudyTools.com. It's called The Five Beautiful Covenants in the Bible and What They Mean. It's written by Blair Park of May 31st, 2023. So when you hear the word covenant, what do you think of? Some may think it means a contract between God and yourself. You do certain requests to appease God, and in return, God fulfills his obligations for what you have done. And Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology explains that the biblical words most often translated covenant are berit in the Old Testament, appearing about 280 times, and diathek in the New Testament, at least 33 times. The origin of the Old Testament word has been debated. Some have said that it comes from a custom of eating together in Genesis 26:30 and 31:54. Others have emphasized the idea of cutting an animal. An animal was cut in half in Genesis 15:18. Still others have seen the ideas of perceiving or determining as root concepts. The preferred meaning of this Old Testament word is bond. A covenant refers to two or more parties bound together. Some may view covenant like a contract, where you both sign on the dotted line and get your rewards for doing your part. However, a covenant in God's mindset is more than just each party doing his or her part. A covenant with God is a promise that builds a lasting relationship between the character and his creation while redeeming those that were lost back to the Father who loves them. So we have two types of covenants in the Bible. A covenant with God goes even further in specifics, and they're categorized in these two types. We have a suzerain vassal covenant and a royal grant covenant. A suzerain vassal covenant represented legal treaties that were set between kings and their subjects, or between two kings, that established what the king would do for the subjects and how they were to respond back to his government. And according to reasonabletheology.org, a royal grant covenant is an agreement where one person in the covenant makes an unconditional promise to the other. An unconditional promise, with the other person not having to do anything in return. Within the Christian Bible are characterized five covenants. Four are named from recognized figures of the Bible that embody one or more of these types of covenants. These display God's never-ending quest to be reunited with his people that eventually leads to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. So we have five covenants God made with his people. The first recorded covenant God made with his people was through his loyal servant, Noah, who followed God's instruction to build an ark that ultimately saved him and his family when God flooded the earth. The Noahic covenant resembled the royal grant covenant in that God gave Noah his promise to not destroy the earth with a flood again, thus representing an unconditional promise from God to Noah. That's Genesis 9:11. The flood had caused the end of mankind and the life on earth itself, outside of Noah's family and the animals gathered in the ark. As many recall, Noah set out a dove to see if there was any land really left, or any life left on earth, and in time, the dove returned to Noah with an olive leaf to signify that the water was receding and plant life had emerged again. Another leader in the book of Genesis, Abraham, symbolizes the next covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. God extended an impossible command to Abraham when he told him to leave all that he knew and follow God to a land he would show him. The land that would eventually be inhabited by Abram's lineage. That's Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. This covenant is a combination of both types of covenants, as God promises to make Abraham and his lineage a great nation and give them countless blessings. This is the royal grant covenant. He does ask Abraham to leave his home and follow the Lord to the new land he will give him, which he creates the agreement of actions by both parties, and that's the suzerain vassal covenant. Moses' dedicated relationship with God also determined a covenant between him and God. That's the Mosaic covenant. Seeing the Israelites becoming restless and disrespectful in the wilderness, God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, and wanted Moses to share this with his people in order for them to be governed properly. That's Exodus 19, verses 5 through 7. If they responded well to the commandments given by Moses, God would richly bless them as his chosen people. This is, once again, the suzerain vassal covenant. Now, a man after God's own heart. Who is that? King David. David established a covenant with God as well. It became the Davidic covenant and stemmed from the Israelites' refusal to follow the Ten Commandments, resulting in several never seeing the promised land. God's pursuit to redeem his people and bring them back into a loving relationship with him inspired this covenant with David. God promises unconditionally, that's the royal grant covenant, to ensure King David and his lineage would rule over Israel forever. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 through 11. The covenant with King David and his lineage foreshadowed the appointing of the greatest of God's covenants with his people. That's the new covenant, which ushers in Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross to save all people and reunite them with God. First expressed in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, as the reason God chose this form of covenant over others that required action from his people. The Davidic covenant blends with the new covenant as Jesus is a descendant from King David and fulfills the understanding of David's household, Jesus, ruling over all of Israel forever. The new
covenant. Can I interject real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Go back a sentence or three where it says Jesus saves all. Can you find that again, sir? I think it's like two sentences, maybe three sentences back. All right, we'll just skip ahead. What I mean to say is, when I believe that this man is saying when Jesus saves all, that means all his elect saints, like Matthew 1:21. And this is the name that ye shall call him, Jesus, for he hath saved his people from their sins. I don't want people out there to be misunderstood. Doug and I are not universalists.
No.
Christ Jesus did not die for every man and woman on the planet. Okay, thank you for letting me clarify that. Please continue.
No, that's a good point. Look, this is a very good article explaining about the covenants. I knew nothing about the royal grant or the suzerain vassal, so it's, you know, it's cool.
Neither did I.
But, you know, Jesus did not die for everyone. You have to accept Jesus.
Well,
it's going to be hard for a lot of people who still don't accept him, don't see him as the Messiah, don't see him as their savior. They see themselves as their savior or another man. Go ahead, Billy.
Thank you. a minor correction to my big brother, Doug. It's not so much that we accept Jesus. What we do when the Lord makes his people willing in the day of his power, Psalm 110, verse 3, but primarily, and don't take my word for it. Look at Ephesians, I think it's chapter 1, that his people are, we are made accepted. The Father makes his people accepted in the Beloved, which is the Lord Jesus. So, remember, it's all of Christ. We contribute nothing except the praises from our lips and our heart. Thank you, Doug.
So when we look in Isaiah 54, once you go down to verse 11, it says, O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in enmity and will lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of agate, your gates of carbuncles, and your wall of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. So let's talk about strife real quick. Billy, when you think of strife, let's put it in the application of the body of Christ and the church. What's right. the first thing that comes up to your mind?
Spiritual warfare and physical warfare. The adversary of our souls, he's always about trying to mudsuck and ambush God's people. You got strife from unbelievers, and sadly, sometimes there's strife between believers. That's a big question.
Well, right now, you know, we were talking about an episode that happened earlier to me, and I am not bound by fleshly needs to answer anybody's comments in the comment section or emails. I do it because, well, honestly, most people in our movement that have a YouTube channel or a presence on YouTube, or they've become little celebrities, rarely do they communicate with the people that they speak to, the fans, as many are called. I don't consider anybody fans. If you listen to me, hey, great.
Right.
We're all brothers and sisters in the same fight. We're all talking to each other, you know. That's my mindset anyways.
There's no I understand.
Way, we're not making ourselves into celebrities here, especially not with yep. what you and I do, man.
Please remember, people, that John the Baptist told his disciples, because they had said, hey, should we follow you or should we follow Jesus? I'm paraphrasing. And John was brutally honest, and he spoke by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. He says, I must decrease, he must increase.
Well,
that's
you know
what I'm talking about.
The problem with what I see online from a lot of these spiritual ministers, the people who go a little bit of the extra biblical route, is that their egos and personifications have increased, have inflated to a point that they overshadow what it is that we're originally supposed to be doing. No matter your context, if you're a Christian YouTube creator, all right, and this is my opinion, okay, so take it for what that's worth, but I believe you should be trying to pull people to the kingdom, to Christ.
Yeah, right? The soul that, how does that scripture go in Proverbs, I think? The man who winneth souls is wise. And I don't profess to fully understand that, but we get the gist of it.
Well, I think one of the problems that we've had for the longest time is that YouTube has become a get-rich scheme. So the more likes I get and the more shares I get and the more followers I get, the more money I get from YouTube, the less I actually have to go out and work. And then the more DVDs I can sell and the more books I can sell, and then I create my own little cult-like fan club. I've seen plenty of them. Hell, I saw the whole cult-like Steve Quayle fan club in Branson. Not everyone there am I calling a cult, but there were followers there that I saw, and this is what's disturbing. And Steve and I both pointed this out. There was two women, and you can ask Bob Griswold this. There's two women who saw Steve Quayle pick up a set of night vision goggles, night vision devices that were on sale there at Bob's booth, the ready-made resources booth. And these two women, all right, in their Sunday best dress, at least in their advanced years of at least late 60s, early 70s, both were pulling on this night vision device because Steve touched it.
Oh, that's just asinine.
you're willing to drop $4,000 on something that, sorry, lady, you're probably not going to use because Steve touched it. And there was another group, and they came with almost every book that Steve Quill had wrote.
Get autographs?
To get autographs, to talk about this, to talk about... Look, it's fascinating. It's fun. It's interesting stuff. Okay? I get it. But when you become so captivated, like the whole alien thing going on right now, like the reason why me and Dave Hodges have been covering the whole alien thing is because we believe it's a deception.
I agree.
We're being deceived, obviously. I mean, even the whistleblowers that may soon be martyrs that are coming out and telling us these things are saying that we're being deceived. No one, I think, is questioning deception here. But more of this is going to come out, and it's going to deceive people. People new to the faith. People looking for faith, looking for something solid. All right? And you got, I mean, Twitter is just blown up. Twitter is blown up with all the conversations about aliens. And as you scroll down on Twitter and you're just following the feeds or whatever, you know, that social media site that you're on, I'm only on Twitter. I got back on Twitter, but I just follow people, so I'm completely shadowed. I don't comment or respond or anything, but it's the best place right now to get news immediately. Because Fox News is not it. Sorry. Not sorry. So you see nothing about Christ on there. You know, I mean, it's madness. It's sickness. It's a lot of mental sickness. You know, here we are in, what is this? Still June. Pride Month.
Ah.
We are a fallen Babylon has fallen reprobate nation.
Abomination.
I believe we're the only country in the world that has dedicated an entire month to someone's sexuality. Of course, there's no straight month, right? There's no month for God, but the same people will say, well, that's because you get every day. No, we don't. Look at this government. This government has done everything possible to try and stick its finger in the eye of people who believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, people who believe in, you know, proper marriage between a man and a woman, not trying to mutilate your kids. This will probably get me thrown off YouTube again. But, you know, whatever. This is the fight that the Christians need to take to the streets. The problem with what's going on in our country with our laws, our kids, our schools, our military, all these problems are because there's no ministers there's not enough speaking out about it. They're not getting out from behind the pulpits. You know what would be motivating? This would be motivating. If I could see the same amount of pastors, preachers, reverends, cardinals, whatever you want to call yourself, your fancy titles, if I could see you all link hands, go out and protest together. Protest this government. Protest this reprobate Joe Biden and his reprobate offspring. Protest the Pentagon. Where is that? That's not here. That's not in our spirits. No, but we'll spend all of our money. We'll go to a conference. We'll go entertain ourselves with a conference with a lot of our favorite, Christian, you know, guys that are entertaining. I get it. I love them. Everyone has something good to say. But are we here to entertain ourselves?
Negative.
Are we here to get a good feeling? Or are we here to do the Lord's work? You know, Billy, you've been out there doing street preaching. How's it for you? How do you feel about the street preacher that was in Reading, Pennsylvania? We didn't get to talk about this in the last storm warning. That was in Reading, Pennsylvania. He got arrested by a sergeant from Reading, Pennsylvania's police department. And I have half the mind to call that police department and get a FOIA so that I can figure out why he was arrested. Because I want to know the elements of the crime of your First Amendment right. Because what I saw, and you saw this, is that that cop acted fleshly, arrested a street preacher who was not hassling. He was not at, well, he was actually absolutely aggravating because the Spirit of Christ aggravates reprobates. But he was not threatening. He was not demeaning. Okay. You know, he wasn't throwing Molotov cocktails at him or dirty tampons at him or water balloons filled with feces and blood from people that are HIV positive, like what got thrown on me and my guys when we would go and stand in front of them in our riot gear. No, they didn't do any of that. They just stood there and protested quietly, you know, within the means and bounds of their constitutional rights. And this one sergeant, and because the other female there, she's, you know, part of the amphibian community, he turned around and said, "You better be respectful." All right, so as someone who's a veteran cop, that dude should lose stripes. You do not deserve to be a leader of men because you acted fleshly. You don't have thick skin. You know, how do you act whenever you get someone calls you a pig or pork belly or fat? Because he might have been all three of those things. I'm not trying to demean the guy, but
hey, Doug, could I interject
ahead,
real
man.
Quick?
Go ahead.
We got to rewind about 90 seconds. You had mentioned that, you know, pastors, clergy.
I'm hot, man. Go ahead. Yeah.
So-called reverends, cardinals, you mentioned. Hey, all those men are taking unlawfully from the glory of Almighty God. Very briefly, in Psalm 111, verse 9. Speaking of Almighty God, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. And then if we look at Job chapter 32, verses 21 to 22, you people who call yourself ministers and pastors, you better repent. I can't remember who said it. Elihu, I think, said it. "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing, my maker would soon take me away." So I mentioned this in the past. I think God's chief enemies, especially here in America, are not who we normally bitch and groan about. It's people stand up on their hind legs behind a pulpit and lie on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're preaching a false gospel by an unholy spirit. And all of us must continue to repent day by day, hour by hour. But thank you for letting me interject that.
Well, what do you think about the street preacher who got arrested?
It was totally unlawful. It happened to me and another street preacher in Madison, Wisconsin. It's the same spirit that I witnessed in September, particularly the 10th of September, the year of our Lord, 2001. And just the faculty, the college students, man, they were demon possessed. I thought I was going to have a heart attack the whole 2 weeks we were doing this street preaching. I mean, seriously, it grieved my heart. And I saw the same thing in that video. Now, that young man made a mistake. He could have legally exercised self-defense. I mean, the Lord himself commands that throughout the scriptures. We don't have time to go over it now, but maybe some other time we could. Had that young man defended himself, even if he was unlawfully detained, with the video evidence, any honest county prosecutor would have thrown the case out. Where a guy named Dan and I, we got unlawfully detained, and the perpetrator, a sodomite, who had, everything was on film. This guy struck one of the young men who was filming everything, and it was assault and battery, and they let the that amphibian go. and arrested Dan and I for protecting this young man, all on video, shown to the sergeant. And there were 14 cop cars there, and it was like a scene from the Planet of the Apes. And I was getting my butt kicked, holding on to this amphibian with a modified chokehold. And yeah, Dan and I got arrested, $150 bail. And then the next morning, the big incident occurred on 9/11. Yeah, the young man was far too gentle. I at a minimum, I think he should have had some bear spray.
Well, you know, this is becoming the law of the land, because God's law is no longer in the land. The land has become the law of the jungle.
Yep.
And here we are. We now can no longer separate ourselves from man and beast. And this, we cannot as a people commingle with unclean people. And by that, I mean the church. We cannot commingle with them. We cannot commune with them. You know, you're not supposed to even have supper or dinner with these people. And
come out of her, my people. And also the Lord says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. I have something on my, if I can find it on my cell phone, it's a quote. Well, I'll just tell you what I'll paraphrase it. A theologian a couple hundred years ago said, we should not form unions with those from whom we would wish to be separated at the day of judgment. That's heavy duty.
We cannot yoke ourselves up with the unclean.
Unbelievers.
It just is what it is. We cannot yoke ourselves up with the unclean. And I don't know what's going on with like the Lutheran church. Some of these other churches, especially the Catholic churches, where you have, you know, the amphibian preachers and reverends that are all over the place. I was watching a show, I think it was Austin, Texas, and this guy, some minister of whatever church he belongs to, he was saying that we need to just come to terms with the fact that God is transsexual.
Oh, blasphemy.
And I'm like, you need to come to terms with the fact that God may send fire down from the sky upon you for saying stuff like that.
Man.
But let's ask this question. Why do these people get to get away with dishonoring the church, with dishonoring these high-ranking positions that should be held within the body of Christ, and they seem to get away with it from God's wrath now? Why do you think that is? Because Old Testament, that typically didn't happen too well for people.
3 points. Lord, help me to remember them all. Warrior King David said on his deathbed, and I can't remember, it might be 2 Samuel something, but he said that he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. And then point number two, our defeated foe, whose name I spit upon, he knows his time is short, Doug, and he's building an army of blind lemmings that will... somebody said once, those who are made to believe absurdities will later commit atrocities. Isn't that interesting? That's yep. Right. And I'll bet you a six pack of your favorite soda pop or fruit juice that they're going to have mobile execution vans, just like communist red China. And you ask, why are these people acting this way? Well, Romans chapter 1, he's turning these, most of the citizens in this country anyway, over to a reprobate mind. The Almighty God is searing their consciences as with a hot iron. There's no communicating with these people.
There's no getting around it.
Yep, they're getting emboldened by the hour.
And they're being emboldened by the politicians. But, you know, the politicians are not immune to the wrath of God. And neither
Oh,
are
you know that.
neither are the false teachers and false prophets.
Got that right.
Hey, Jeremiah 5, starting at verse 14, the Lord proclaims judgment. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, because you have spoken this word, behold, I am making my words in your mouth a fire, and this people wood, and the fire shall consume them. Behold, I am bringing against you a nation from afar. O house of Israel, declares the Lord, it is an enduring nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know, nor can you understand what they say. Every time I hear this verse, I think China.
Yeah, I just thought that too.
That's the spirit that I get every time. It's like, I feel it is China. Their quiver is like an open tomb. They are all mighty warriors. They shall eat up your harvest and your food. They shall eat up your sons and your daughters. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They shall eat up your vines and your fig trees. Your fortified cities in which you trust, they shall beat down with the sword. Verse 18. But even in those days, this goes back to what we were saying. How are these people of reprobate minds, these people who have declared themselves enemies of God to do evil in the sight of God, how do they get away with it? Listen to this. Verse 18, but even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make a full end of you. And when your people say, why has the Lord our God done all these things to us? You shall say to them, as you have forsaken me and served foreign gods in your land, so shall you serve foreigners in a land that is not yours.
Man,
declare this in the house of Jacob, proclaim it in Judah. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? I place the sand at the boundary for the sea, a perpetual barrier that it cannot pass. Though the waves toss, they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. They do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives us rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps us for us the weeks appointed for the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. For wicked men are found among my people. They lurk like fowlers laying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. Listen to this. They catch men like a cage full of birds. Their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and rich. They have grown fat and sleek. They know no bounds in deeds of evil. They judge not with justice, the cause of the fatherless to make it prosper. And they do not defend the rights of the needy. Shall I not punish them for these things, declares the Lord? And shall I not avenge myself on a nation such as this? An appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? So for all you flat earthers out there, who still get pissed off at me, what will you do when the end comes? I pray that you are there along with the rest of us in heaven. And I hope after being honored with that new cloak and diadem, after you've gotten that supreme hug from your Savior, that your first question is, Lord, why isn't the earth flat? And it's, Lord, thank you for accepting me. But for many of you, and include a couple of you who love your religion to death, to a guy named Peter, who has blown up my comment section on an old video between me and Chris Pinto. Brother, I say this to you. Your religion is going to damn you to hell.
Christ alone, Peter. I say that with great fear of the Lord and with great love for you, my neighbor, though we've never met, so to speak. Paul said that there is no fear of God before their eyes. No. And the scripture says The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when Doug and I talk about fear, that's not a mercenary fear. It's a holy, reverential awe for the Most High God, Jesus Christ alone. Look to him, Peter, and all the rest of you folks that are caught up in bizarro science fiction false religions. Doug and I do pray. Holy Father, Abba, Abba in the Hebrew, please draw multitudes of our listeners to the Lord Jesus Christ when this is put on the YouTube channel. In Jesus' name, bring in thy sheaves, Almighty God. Make them willing in the day of thy power, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Doug.
Amen. Well, may we all be fishers of men. Say everybody. You know, I pray the name of Jesus over everyone who listens to us and the many blessings and the many mercies. And for, you know, our friends of the Catholic faith, I know of the good things that the Catholic faith has done. I know of the good things that Protestants have done, what you like to say, fundamentalists. But also, I can poke you in the eye and say that there has never been quite the death toll from a religion as the Catholic faith.
Some estimate 100 million men, women, and children.
That's right.
For 605-year period, when over 80 Antichrist popes sat upon their temporal, yet evil reign of power. Spanish Inquisition, horrific. If you anybody wants to get a hold of the book, is called Foxes.
Book of Martyrs.
Yeah, Foxes. Foxes Book of Martyrs. And I couldn't even finish it 25 years ago. It was so stunning.
Yeah, but the Legion from Rome that wouldn't bow the knee to Caesar and denounce Jesus. You remember that one?
No.
Yeah, the whole Legion. They said that they would not bow the knee and they would not worship the emperor and his gods. And so they all martyred themselves.
Really?
Man. Here's another one, is a Martyr's Mirror. I was just sent this book. It's quite the book. Never heard of it. Yeah, a good friend of mine, Dr. Eric, sent me that. My wife and I will be getting into that tonight. So praise God for that. You know, we find a strange conundrum in our country right now. Have you been paying attention to baseball lately? Anyone seen what's been happening with the Dodgers?
I'm not a sports fan. I'd rather skydive or go surfing, but I can't do that anymore. What's going on?
Well, for one thing, if you could skydive into surfing, my hat's off to you. So there is a group called the Sisters of Something. I don't. It is such a satanic group.
But amphibians?
Yes, of course they're amphibians. They are the whatever you call them. They pretend to be female nuns and are, they demonically paint their face. They wear all different types of horrific, like extremely heretical things. Man. And it's making fun of the Catholic faith. It's making fun of those people. It's very demented. And the baseball team, the Dodgers, honored them, gave them awards.
You gotta be kidding me.
Like humanitarian achievement awards.
Wickedness.
And then the next week, they're going to hold a family and Christian community night at the Dodgers Stadium. Yeah, that's not how that works. And you know, at this rate, hopefully no one is in the stadium, but may God rain fire upon that place. You know, when you honor the strange gods, that strange fire, when you honor, give an award to these things. And there was a Christian man who was on that baseball team who rebuked it because he's a Catholic, or because it made fun of the Catholics and he felt offended by it. He rebuked it, talked about it openly in social media, and then the baseball team pressured him to apologize. And you know what he did?
He quit?
He bent the knee.
Ah!
What happened to the men of God? You bend the knee to evil. You bend the knee to corruption, to money, to lust, to power, to control. But it'll all be exposed when you see your
Big
maker.
Time.
All this that you have denounced, ignored, it'll all be exposed, and we'll all have to pay for it. You'll all individually pay for everything that you turned your head to. The thing that the Spartans used to call the thousand deaths of a coward. That time when, in the battlefield, their friends would be laying there groaning with their hands up, trying to get their mates to try and pick them up. And they just looked and said, nope, I got to keep moving. Or did I not stop and care for this guy? Could I have brought water to this guy or a last apple to feed this one, dying friend? But instead, there are a thousand little disgraces they ignored, instead of sending up the shield to block their friend, they backed out of the shield wall of the phalanx. These are things that are talked about quite a bit in the Peloponnesian Wars, which is one of the things that I studied in my time in college. And it helped expose to me quite a bit of a man's mindset, because we have all been there at one point or time. But when you create this anomaly of becoming a public figure, and then you say that you are, bought and born again member of the kingdom of heaven, and then you turn your back on God, and you don't keep your promise, though God has always kept his promise to us. Billy, what do you think happens to those kind of people eventually?
Well, I'm pick up the lull and keep talking. I'm looking for something in Proverbs.
Well, let's go ahead and say it's probably not good. We have to be so careful to make a covenant with God when you accept Jesus, right? And then not hold your end of the bargain. Sin all day long, and then at night, oh God, forgive me for all my sinning. Tomorrow, I promise. Tomorrow will be the day. I will sin no more. And yet I keep doing it. Well, eventually, you're not building up storehouses of treasure in heaven for yourself. And I fear, Billy, that right now in America, we have so many men demasculated, demoralized to be masculine. There was a show that my wife and I were listening to the other day. It was all these girls from OnlyFans. It's a pornography social media website. And there's a guy that's talking to all these girls in this podcast. And they all call him the Alpha Chad. Decent looking guy wearing a two-piece suit. Apparently he makes a lot of money doing whatever he's doing. And he has, if I'm correct, four women that have one or two kids of his. I think he's got five kids from four different women. He hasn't married any of them, but he takes care of all of them. And he said that's he wants to find a woman who's committed to him. And this guy is called the Alpha Chad because he makes money. So now the alpha males are just guys who are more or less reprobate pimps. Who have a little bit of money. That's the ideology of young men growing up now in America. Now, I'd love to hear what yours was, but mine growing up, what was John Wayne and all the old Western Clint Eastwood guys, the hard nosed guys, guys from World War II and Korea and Vietnam. Those were our heroes growing up.
I found a verse here. It's not the one I was looking for, but Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. A righteous man falling down before the wicked, like that baseball player, is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. But keep talking. I'm still looking for the other two verses.
Well, I want to read something from the other Bible study, God is Faithful, from David Wilkerson. Listen to this. June 18th, a personal revelation of Christ. If you're a preacher, missionary, or teacher, ask yourself, what are you teaching? Is it what a person taught you, a rehashing of the revelation of some great teacher? Or have you experienced your own personal revelation of Jesus Christ? If you have, is that revelation ever increasing? Is it heaven being open? Is heaven being open to you? Paul said, for in him we live and move and have our being. That's Acts 17:28.
And that even involves DNA and everything. I mean, that's heavy, heavy duty.
That's right. True men and women of God live within this very narrowly defined yet vast circle. Their every move is wrapped up only in the interest of Christ. Years ago, I knew the Holy Spirit was drawing me into such a ministry, one that preached Christ alone. Oh, how I yearned to preach nothing but him. But my heart was unfocused and I found the circle too narrow. As a result, I had no flow of revelation to sustain my preaching. Paul said, Christ was being revealed in him, not just to him. See Galatians 1:16. In God's eyes, it is unfruitful to preach a word that has not already worked its power in the preacher's life and ministry. It may seem all right for certain shallow ones to preach Christ with contention, but not so for the man or woman of God. We must preach an ever-increasing revelation of Christ, yet only as the revelation affects a deep change in us. Without a continuous flow of revelation from the Holy Spirit, we will end up repeating a stale message. Our words will fall to the ground. We must stay filled up with the never-ending revelation of Christ. Such revelation awaits every servant of the Lord who is willing to wait on him, believing and trusting the Holy Spirit to manifest to him the mind of God.
Well stated. I found the two verses in Proverbs chapter 24, and this refers to what you said about so many men being emasculated, right? Proverbs 24, verse 10 and 11. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear, meaning not to deliver, them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, verse 12, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Oh, may the Lord God omnipotent give his people the boldness of lions. Quicken us to thy word at all times, O God. Help us to speak truth to evildoers, and always mentioning thy holiness, O God, thy sovereignty, thy free grace, thy love, thy mercy, thy kindness to your people, and help us to speak to the edification of those that will hear us. And keep our mouths from speaking wickedness. O God, deliver thou us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, man. You know, I read Ecclesiastes quite a bit. Wanted to go over something. The vanity of wisdom. And I say that, once again, because I'm speaking to people who...
Man's so-called wisdom.
Yeah, in our comment section on many different forums, from a lot of my friends who do this, you see some of the most cold-hearted, conflicting, confounded, asinine comments from Christians. And it's not talked about very much from a lot of these guys, and I get that, but I'll talk about it, because what do I have to lose? You know, I see some of the worst comments from people who say that they are followers of the faith of Christ more than I ever do people that say that they're not saved. And it's strange. We beat each other up over doctrine, Billy, over doctrine. And, well, this guy on the internet says this, and this guy in this book says this, And my religion tells me this, and my faith tells me this. In the go ahead.
I know I can understand your angst. I feel the same way. But the good Lord taught me back in the late 90s, it's not profitable to argue with troublemakers.
That's right.
A soft answer turneth away wrath. That's why I was praying, Abba Father, that to quicken us to His Word. And I mean, there comes a point in time if people are not hearing sound doctrine, and that word is highly despised. Basically, it means biblical teaching. Then we have to do a 180. And it's written, I can't remember where. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Question mark. And the answer is negative. We have to be agreed. And you mentioned this earlier about being unequally yoked. There's a lot of keyboard warriors that delight to stir up all kinds of problems. I don't like to be around those people.
Yep, that word is strife.
Yep.
Strife amongst the brethren.
It ain't good.
Nope, it ain't good. And it's only getting more brazen with people because of the internet. And so I ask, you know, for anyone who feels like they need a comment, look, I'm not going to tell you what to write. You have free will. God gave you that. But there are repercussions and consequences for everything that you do. And, you know, you have no reason to fear me. I can't judge your soul, right? Fear him who does that. But what you end up doing, what a lot of you people end up doing in these comment sections, and you can email me all day long and yell at me, I don't care. But in the comment sections, what you end up doing is you end up damaging the faith of people because they see this eternal conflict in the church community where none of us can agree upon anything. Everybody has to be heard. And if you're one of those people that you have to write a story in the comment section every single time, start your own YouTube, man. I mean, you know, I mean, that's because what ends up happening is people say, look, what he said or she said is great, but listen to me. I have all the information. And I'm being vague because I don't want to point fingers at anybody. Or talk about other guys' YouTube channels or Rumble channels, but you know all of them, most likely, and it's never addressed. So I just want to address it. If we are going to be partakers with Christ, then speak Christ-like. You know, be adults. Stop boasting about knowledge that God's going to prove you to be very foolish with. Ecclesiastes. The vanity of wisdom. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. And I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit.
Big that time.
That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increasing in knowledge increase in sorrow. Much wisdom perceived much madness and folly.
Hey, Doug, let me bring up a point. I know we've talked about this before. I just want to give a minor correction in love. You had mentioned those two words, free will. Now, many people will think I'm a madman for saying this, but I can prove it with the scriptures. Man's will, I mean, secularly speaking, we think we have so-called free will. But man's will is totally depraved and fallen. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the man that sinneth is a servant to sin. And that word servant in the Greek means slave. Paul the Apostle warned against will worship. I've come across tons of people, and they, if you're doing will worship, you're worshiping a false god by an unholy spirit. And people have got to understand what transpired in the Garden of Eden. Because remember, the Lord said, and I'm so sorry, I have to paraphrase, but in the day that ye eat of the fruit of that particular tree, ye shall surely die. Well, Adam and Eve didn't physically die, but the moment Adam broke God's one law, that cast the rest of the human race into total and utter depravity. You can read more about it in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. And, and I know you didn't mean to say something deceiving. I just wanted to help correct that.
No, that's a good clarification. Look, the free will thing, that's the whole amphibian movement. That is. I hear them preach it all the time. I am my own God. The Satanists do this all the time, too. They love for you to think that you can be your own God. You can control your own free will and your own destiny and all that other great stuff.
I think it's in Isaiah how Lucifer, he said, he said like a whole bunch of I will. Like, one of them was, I will ascend to a throne, basically, that's higher than Almighty God. I will do this. I will do that. So that's where this so-called free will stuff comes from. And anyway, thank you.
No, you're fine. I think we're coming to a crossroads here in America. I want to move on to something next. We're coming to a crossroads here in America where a lot of our problems are about to start exposing themselves quite frequently. And currently, Billy, you and I have both been talking about this back and forth about troop movements across America.
Oh, yeah.
And even Russia is apparently reaching out in the Telegram, I think this was called Telegram channels, and they're trying to find out what's going on with all the troop movement. So what have you heard? What have you seen?
About the same amount of scuttlebutt that you've read and watched on video. We were talking before we went live, or excuse me, pre-recording anyway. There's a really good web YouTube channel, Marfugel. Just type in YouTube Marfugel channel. And Adam does a pretty good job. He's an amiable fellow, and he pleads with people, you know, to be prepared and trust God. But about the topic you mentioned with all the troop movement, he looked at it at two angles. The first angle was, well, it's just Biden is going to go to this location next week, and that the military is just like setting up security. Well, then there was a retired U.S. Marine that Marfugel, Adam is his name, read this Marine's comment, and he says, we never are cooling around with tanks in the fashion that one video shows. I counted five tanks. That Marine, I think you do, I do believe that something really big is going down very soon. That one V2 stealth bomber that was flying just above the high rises. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that. I've had probably 15 or 20 different emails with all different kinds of videos and pictures, even from people seeing it themselves. One was an osprey that I think it was in California, maybe landing in like a suburban area.
Yeah, you had those two little boys watching it, and there was a second osprey that was coming in for final two.
Yeah,
but
that's
there's
a
also
big bird. That's a big bird to just be landing out in the middle of a field and nobody.
Yeah.
I'm sure they had to have had someone on the ground for an LZ to land
probably,
them.
Probably Air Force Combat Control. But then there's another video, and they showed it a number of times. I counted 21 ospreys in a mass formation. I was in fellowship. What was the name of that big exercise 4, 5, 6 years ago, Doug, that involved troops in Lawton, Texas, and in multiple
Jade
states?
Helm. Jade
Thank
Helm.
You.
15 and 16.
I was in touch with his nick. I wouldn't say his real name, but his nickname was Chinook Man. And he was a like-minded believer on the Lord Jesus, but I think he started to get really paranoid. He refuses to contact me or receive any communications from me anymore because he thought I was spying for the U.S. government. And I've talked to some SEALs about Jade Helm, and they kind of blew off the conspiratorial thing about it. They indicated to me that it was actually a good thing to, you know, to practice those various exercises. I can't say for sure. I don't know, but there's a lot of scared, lonely people out there, and you've brought it up in the past. More of Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness, and the everlasting gospel, and not so much the conspiratorial stuff. So it's a good, but it's a good thing that we're the Master himself said, watch and pray. And you and I, and I know many others, we're watching and praying.
Yeah, and look, I haven't made my mind up about what is going on with all the troop movement. You know, like I said, when I was stationed in Hawaii, we had to move up and down, to the Kahuku Mountain Range or to Schofield, the Army base, or to Hickam Air Force Base, this old abandoned base that we would train at.
It's abandoned now.
Yeah, it's abandoned now. It's a cool place.
Oh, I flew into that place in early 79. We flew in there about five times. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. It's just a playground for the Marine Corps now. That's a big mount town.
Brother Doug, I apologize. I have to go attend to something real quick. I hope to get back ASAP.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'll keep pushing on. But look, I haven't made up my mind yet of what I think is going on with the whole troop movement. When I was stationed in Hawaii, we moved everywhere in, you know, our troop carriers or 7-tons or Humvees or MRAPs. So I'm not too surprised when I see that the National Guard does that. The Army does that. The Marine Corps does that. You know, you get in a convoy, you drive to a range or to wherever site you're going to be training at, or, you know, you fly in a bird over there, you know, a helicopter. So I'm not always, you know, conspiratorial when I see stuff like this. If we're going to be moving a lot of goods and hardware, we're going to do it by freight, most likely, especially tanks and artillery. But also not all the time. So I don't know exactly what's going on with the troop movement. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, don't run amok with what I'm about to say. I would not be surprised, and I haven't had this vetted out at all, if we were doing that in preparation for a potential invasion into Russia. I wouldn't be surprised if we were moving assets around the country, doing snap exercises. Snap exercise is where, you know, your unit's put on standby for a potential movement or exercise in X hour at Y destination with Z mission. And, you know, you're just told, hey, arrive at the armory, go to the motor pool, you check out your vehicles, check out your weapons, load up, and now we're heading off. I wouldn't be surprised if that was happening. And a lot of the soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines that are Participating in this are just as surprised as many of you that they're landing out in a suburban, you know, landing zone or driving up and down your neighborhoods. Could it be for martial law? Could it be for potential World War III? It could be for anything, guys. But what I would hate to see is for people to stumble down that rabbit hole, that Alice in the Wonderland rabbit hole, because this website says this, and they have all these sources that you cannot vet. They don't name them. You know, for all the sites that I get, you can go online and find them all. It's all open source information. So, you know, like I said, man, I don't know where I stand really with the whole troop movement thing. Is it weird? Sure, it's weird. You know, the government does weird stuff. The military has operations and training events all over the world at any moment, any time. And it looks surprising to the average civilian who's never seen them that close to their backyard or, you know, that close to them. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe that isn't what it is. There's another thing that I'd like to bring up that I do find interesting that's going on. And here, let's find this article real quick. The House Oversight Chairman says that there is evidence of $20 to $30 million worth of illegal payments that are going to the Bidens. And the FBI came out and said that they don't want to give up anything about their sources and method from their Burisma source in Ukraine, who says that he's got the video proof and recordings of getting $5 million paid to both Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, in fear that the Biden administration may have him assassinated or killed. What I find so interesting in that statement is how no one in the mainstream media is talking about that. The threat that the FBI says they fear that the Biden administration may have this man killed. That doesn't raise any eyebrows on anybody. You know, and we have Joe Biden being asked, why did the Ukrainian FBI inform it? Why did the Ukraine FBI informant file refer to you as the big guy? And Joe Biden asked the reporter, why did you ask such a dumb question? And just laughs about it. These people have been able to get away with this stuff for far too long. For far too long. But they won't get away with it forever. I think America is very quickly approaching judgment. Bill, are you there?
I just got back. I apologize, friends.
So what I was talking about is how the people in Ukraine for Burisma said that they have the video proof that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden was getting paid $5 million apiece by Burisma Holdings.
Gosh.
And the FBI wouldn't release the information of the informant because they feared that the Biden administration may have him killed. And nobody in the mainstream media is shocked about that at all. Does that seem weird to you?
It is weird. It's by design. They're just they're so full of iniquity, i.e. lawlessness, that there's no hope for most of these people. They're going to get the fruit of their desserts, that's for sure.
Oh, man. More to come. Look, don't operate in the flesh. Don't let your senses be overwhelmed and overcome during these times.
Right.
Stay trained up. Stay prepared. Stay prayed up. Billy, when it comes to training, with what you're doing right now, can you give someone out there who is seeking advice of what they should be doing for training? Someone advanced in their years as you are, Billy, how do you keep yourself fresh and in shape and your mind so sharp? What are some of the things that you do?
I'm actually lacking. I'm not gonna fib to you. I need more training. I mean, I retain a goodly amount of muscle memory, and if you can't friends, if you can't get to the range as often as you would like, there is a great benefit in dry firing. You can work on your positions. Yeah, I really wish we were neighbors, because I'm quite rusty, and it's probably not very helpful to people listening. But I agree with you. It's training is very important. I've approached neighbors. Hey, let's go do some training. Let's go do some PT, physical training as well. And it's like, there's very few people in my neck of the woods that are taking this stuff seriously. You and Bob and a group of other men, y'all are doing a great job. But I did come across something in Proverbs, and I'll turn it back to you, my friend. Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 6. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Yeah, I say the most important thing, friends, is it's just fully trusting, delighting in, committing everything, resting and waiting upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And take heart, although he came as the suffering servant, the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, he's coming back as the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah. And maybe we'll be riding because of his grace, we'll be riding who knows how many souls on horses and in our new spiritual bodies. Yeah, I can not imagine what is about to happen. I always thank the Lord. Thank you, O Most High, for all that you have done, for all that you are doing now, and for all that you're about to do. And you had asked me, some of my mental my thoughts about, I just keep praying all the time, asking, seeking, and knocking importunately in prayer. Folks, if you're in Christ, he not only hears your prayers, the scriptures in the book of Revelation say that God's people who cry unto him and pray, it comes up before Almighty God in his throne as a precious ointment. Like incense, that's the word. I'm done.
Well, this is what I would leave people with. Try to learn something new every day, right? Try to learn something new every day. That's what my dad used to tell me.
That's
And
good.
if you don't, you're wrong. That's the other part he would say. It's not hard to dedicate yourself and train yourself to 30 minutes of PT a day. 30 minutes of PT every day. It's simple, guys. You can do a minute of push-ups, a minute of sit-ups, a minute of squats, and do that 3 times. So you got 3 rounds of 1 minute worth of push-ups, sit-ups, and squats, or
Good thinking.
planks, or jumping jacks, side straddle hops for all you Marines out there. And then
Eight count bodybuilders.
Oh my Lord.
We had to do 126. We had to 126 of them prior to graduating when I was in Bud's class 126. And boy, those fellas sure are having fun at Class 360.
My drill instructor used to said that we would do the my drill instructor, I believe, created the perfect push-up before the SEALs came out with the perfect push-up blocks. What's up with you guys and making all the cool guy workout references? We had to do the perfect push-up, which was 10 push-ups. And what my DI would do, Drill Sergeant Brown, is Drill Instructor Sergeant Brown, what he would do is he'd start us off, at the resting position, and he says, push up, Marine Corps, and then one, and we'd do one push up, and then he'd walk away, and he'd come back about 10 minutes later, and he'd say,
Oh, hey, you're in the leading rest.
yep, and he'd say two. And
Oh.
all we had to do was do 10 push ups.
Oh.
And
That's
so
brutal.
about 3 hours later, of constantly
Oh.
stopping, because every time the knee hit the ground, well, good, we'll restart.
Oh.
And it was never about, this is what a lot of you men need to understand, this lesson. I'm writing up a whole thing for the Warrior Summit Conference that's going to be at Jamie Walden's place in Colorado at the Calico Buffalo Base Camp Ranch place. The whole point of getting your butt smoked was not to get in shape. It was to teach you to endure pain, to tolerate pain, to think your way through, to be calm during the middle of that storm. That was the whole point of it. And that's why I still think that hard physical exercise is a necessary key and tool for a man to keep up his manliness, to keep up, to keep the edge of that sword sharp. Because you can sharpen the mind all day long, but if you can't swing the axe to cut the firewood, how are you going to cook your food that night, right?
Indeed.
You got to do everything. Guys, you got to be a jack of all trades. You should be learning as much as possible while God's given us this grace and the lights are still on. We got to be doing everything possible while we can. So get in shape, be reading. I'm still reading the Black Book of Communism. Where's this other book at? Meditations from Marcus Aurelius. Very, very good book for all of you who like Greek philosophy. I think that right now, what I'm hearing scuttlebutt on is that this growing season may be our last growing season when it comes to vegetables. Have you
Well,
been
it's
hearing
funny.
anything about that?
Well, it's funny you bring this up because this spring, May and June has been the coolest in the coming up on 17 years that Sweetie Pie and I have lived here, and I happen to think that because it's been so cool, it's because of all the fires. And I'm here, and a lot of these fires are being started by professional arsonists.
Yeah,
And
yep.
well, and one of those giganto volcanoes, I don't know what year it was. I think it was in the 19th century, but Europe, with all the dust in the air, they called it the year without summer. And they couldn't grow stuff, and I we both we know there's geoengineering going on, but even right now I could put on a hoodie. I'm in the man cave garage with the door open, and goodness sakes, it feels like it's 66 degrees here. And I'm not complaining. I actually prefer cooler weather. In
Yeah.
fact, I will say I enjoy the winter more
Yeah.
than I do the heat of the summer, especially for camping and being outdoors. But what do you think?
Well, I went down as a heat casualty years ago, so I don't like the heat anymore. I've always enjoyed the winter. I like cold, brutal winter. I actually enjoy 0 degrees. I really do. I'm one of those guys that I like to be warm and cold. I like for my body to be warm and for outside to be freezing cold. I don't enjoy the heat anymore. And especially for animal husbandry, it's really hard on the animals. The heat is so hard, especially on fowls, on the poultry. It's really hard on them. We're trying to restock our chickens right now,
Good
and
job.
all the ducks and geese. My Lord, we have so many. Which, praise God, we do, and I hope many other people have the ability to do it. You need to be getting animals that are going to be producing for you. We're about to be getting into rabbits. We've got a lot of building to go on,
Good
but
job.
we're going to get into rabbits because I want to be able to have my red meat, my poultry, my eggs. And you need to be thinking about these things because the moment we get into war, a lot of this stuff stops.
Yep.
Next day shipping stops. The moment the grid collapses, that's done with. The moment the monetary position goes up, where the dollar means nothing anymore, what are people going to be doing to feed themselves? That's what I worry about. So make sure
Well,
that you're storing up what you can. And now is the time for growing season. So be putting your seedlings out and getting them ready to be planted.
right. Man, my neighborhood is filled with chickens and gardens.
That should be everyone. That should be everyone everywhere.
Right.
I just don't get it for the life of me. We rely upon the next day shipping. What a fragile system that is that we live in. No one
Oh,
else
big time.
around the no one else around the world, Billy, has what we have for that.
I know it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you want to close us out in prayer, and then we'll sign off. Right now, we're just bumping our gums and we'll let everyone go. Sorry for the extra long talk. But, like I said, man, a lot of bad things going on right now, a lot of weird things going on right now. Be very mindful of what's happening and what you say and who you're yoked up with, and train, prep, and pray. Other than that, Billy, can you roll us out of here?
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, thrice holy, nothing is impossible with you. Please touch the hearts of our listeners in a powerful fashion and draw them unto the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you that you continue to protect and provide for us in more ways than we can number, as your servant warrior King David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 5. Father, in the midst of wrath, remember mercy, hide thy people in the day of thine anger. Doug and I and fellow saints listening, we pray, as the master commanded, that we be accounted worthy to escape the things which are soon about to come to pass, that we may stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Father, that your only begotten Son said that for the sake of the elect, I will shorten the days. Oh, remember the word unto thy servants upon which thou hast caused us to hope. Please subdue our iniquities. Please raise up your people that are ill from the bed of languishing. We thank you that you continue to encamp your angel round about those that fear thee, and that you deliver us. We thank you, Holy Father, that you continue to rebuke the neighbor, to rebuke the devil from amongst your people. You are so good to us, and help us, Holy Father, to maintain a continual attitude of thanksgiving and praise as we continue to seek the Lord Jesus's face. Thank you for Doug, his lovely family, and for this means to communicate with who knows how many people. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this Storm Warning broadcast. This is hosted by the American Vindictus Show. My name is Doug Thornton, and this is our brother Billy, Sinner Saved. Make sure that you are subscribed to the show on YouTube and also on Rumble. And please let me know if you're not getting the notifications. I'm getting told now that people aren't getting the notifications whenever a new episode's coming out. That's because I'm shadow banned and the enemy is at work. So praise God, we must be doing something right, brother. Thank you, everyone, once again, for listening. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there.
Love you, folks. Take care, man. And ladies.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.